Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, it is the Red Men TV and Liverpool are back in Champions League action. It is the last 16, Liverpool versus Porto over in Portugal. Me and Chris will be there, but for right here and now, we are here in the studio. We are joined by Ross Chandler.
Paul, this is massive, you know, because this is the first time we've ever done a last 16 game in the Champions League build-up show.
Yeah.
The very first time. There's not many firsts we get to do with Red Men TV after really following Liverpool for so long and doing this for so long. This is the first time we get to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to go for a high five on camera. Can we do it? Yes, Paul.
High thumb.
That's why we've never tried a high five on camera before.
I feel violated, but in a good way. Ross, yeah. 9 years since we were in the last 16 of the Champions League. I think there's a temptation, I think, to look at it and go, Porto, you know, it's not Real Madrid or Barcelona or Bayern Munich and what have you, but this is a massive game. It's a massive game for this club, and it's a great signifier to the development that this side has been on for the last few years, that we can go into a last 16 game feeling upbeat, feeling excited, feeling positive about it.
Yeah, I think because it's been so long as well, people aren't getting complacent, thinking, like you said, it's Porto, it's not a walk through in the park. We know that because it's so difficult to get into Europe, and when we were in the Champions League last time, we didn't even get out of the group stages. But it's just nice to have something to look forward to, a European fixture, and the first one's away. It's kind of things, you know, them days where you have an away fixture and you come home, and at Anfield European nights, looking forward to that as well.
I think that's a massive, massive thing. That Chris is exactly what Ross has said there. That's how we've had some great success with that formula in the past. You've only got to look back to the last time we won it. Of course, we got a lot of those plum draws, and it's just something we've not witnessed. I've not been to a truly, you know, we went to Madrid to the debacle. It was Real Madrid, the absolute debacle of Real Madrid. So you know, to go and see us in a massive competitive game. This is. You know, I mean, I know we saw the Europa League final. I've seen European games, saw Hoffenheim away this season, but this is.
This is where it's at. I'm excited to go over there tomorrow. I can't wait. I've never done a European away in the last 16 of the Champions League. I cannot wait to go over there and sing my heart out all day, be that in a square or in a pub or wherever I'm going to, in the toilet. I don't care. I'm going to be screaming and singing my heart out. And you're going to be gutted because you're in the same hotel room as me. Mm. And Si's going to be gutted because he's in the same hotel. I'm going to be singing loud.
Some loud poos. Look, it's...
You're going to get thrown off the plane, aren't you?
So what? As long as I'm in Porto, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Although we do have a connecting flight. That might be an issue.
Yes. Let's
no ramp, singing until we're grounded.
Let's ramp it up. We'll ramp it up over a couple of days. The Porto side, I think, look, shouldn't be underestimated, Chris. Top of the league at the moment, ahead of Benfica and Sporting Lisbon. Got out of their group, albeit second in the group behind Besiktas. And again, there's probably a slight degree of snobbery. You might go, well, how good's that? Well, RB Leipzig didn't get out of that group. Monaco didn't get out of that group. So, again, these are a very, very good side. They've got a great pedigree of playing European football. You know, they've won four league titles and a Europa League since we were last in this stage of the competition. No matter which way you slice it, it's going to be a very good game of football.
It's going to be a good game of football. It's going to be a tough game of football for us, isn't it? I think, you know, first of all, thank you, Agent Lamar and Agent Keita, for not getting your teams out of the group stage for us and stuff. But they're used to this type of a thing, and this squad isn't used to it. You know, it's we're a year removed even from the Europa League run and stuff. Now we've got a little bit. We know how to play away in Europe. You know, that Dortmund away was good, of course, and the way that we went about those fixtures was absolutely excellent. So I expect a solid performance, and one where hopefully, listen, I'd like to see us try and blow them away, but I think it's more likely that we're going to be very conservative in our approach and trust that Anfield European night is what gets us through into the next round.
Do you think there's something to be gleaned from that Europa League run in this regard, Ross, and just in how we might set up? You know, we were surprised at the time. I remember the Dortmund away that Chris referenced. You know, we started Origi up front in that game, and it was like, it was a surprise. You know, we went 4-2-3-1 in that. We played on the counter-attack. We had a great effect. Do you think there's something we might do different to what we've done so far?
I agree with Chris. I think it should be a bit more reserved. It might have been a surprise for the players, but then if you think of Jurgen Klopp's track record in European, you know, he's got a lot more experience than any of them players he's got. So he got, what was it, Milner, Matip, and that's pretty
much... Maneno's got good European experience.
And that's pretty much it, out of that bunch. But I expect us to be a bit more reserved than anything. I don't think you can risk going forward. And when you look at Porto's record and the amount of goals that they score, and our defensive record being weak at the back, albeit recent weeks we've integrated Karius and Van Dijk a lot more, and I think that's going forward.
And let's not forget our defensive record in Europe has been pretty good so far. We only conceded 6-6 in the group stage. Their defensive record's actually probably slightly more concerned, which I think bodes kind of well. I think they conceded 10 on the way through. So. You're right, though, that Liverpool should be a slightly better prospect.
I think also think of the last two games that we've played. I think we've changed our game plan slightly against Tottenham and against Southampton, didn't we? Where we very much gave the other team the ball. And, you know, I think against Tottenham was probably a little bit more enforced than anything else. But certainly against Southampton, we were able to impose our will when we wanted to in that game. And I wonder whether that's a sort of lead into how we can see Liverpool feature and figure out Porto and, you know, try and give them a little bit of the ball, hit them a little bit on the counter-attack and sort of, just as I said earlier on, just sort of be a little bit more conservative and take our opportunities if they're presented to us, but not go over the top and try and force it.
Exactly, we don't. It's a two-legged affair. It's daft, you know. We have to get back into this mindset. Liverpool getting a 1-0 or getting a 1-1 is a very solid result to get out of this game. Don't expect us to go and pull a Maribor out all of a sudden in this one. But yeah, interesting stuff, though.
It'd be nice.
It would be delightful to see us pull a Maribor out the bag, make no mistake. Before we crack on, we're going to be doing Preferred 11s in a moment. Chris sat down with Sachin Nakrani this week. Fantastic podcast with the journalist, talking about things around the transfer market and why people shouldn't lose faith, shouldn't lose hope. Plenty of positivity to look ahead to. Here's a little clip.
I think people, in my opinion, have become completely obsessed with signings. I think it's almost got to a point where people are more excited by signing players and actually seeing them play for their club. You know, the window opens and people are pouring over transfer rumours and reports and you know, getting excited by sums. And I mean, I was like that when I was younger, you know, really exciting when players were signing. But I don't know, as I've got older, it just doesn't excite me anymore. And what I want to see is the club. Well, obviously, Liverpool in our case, I want to see the players who are already there developing and improving. I find that really exciting. And I want to see more young players get a chance as well. And obviously, there's certain areas, you know, you'll know better than me that need improvement. And when Van Dijk signed, I was excited. But I wasn't excited because he would cost £75 million. I was excited because he was a centre-back and Liverpool needed a centre-back.
Right, OK then, gents, what we got? Ross, I like the way that you pretended like you were still working on that there, though. You like, it's a big reveal, whereas, you know, we did write these 20 minutes ago. I think all in agreement, Karius. I think there's maybe a slight conversation. It was mentioned in commentary, actually, the Southampton game. Like, would we see Mignolet, Karius effectively swapping? I don't think there's any indication from Klopp that that's a thing. You might maybe take the FA Cup as maybe the alternative opinion on that, but I wouldn't agree. We've got, in fact, that is an interesting one straight off the bat. Trent at right back. Is this because
Gomez is a doubt? Otherwise, like away fixture being defensive, I'd rather see Joe Gomez in there because he's obviously naturally more defensive. That's why I put Trent in. I think you need to keep this the same because obviously
Matt and Van Dijk
and Karius as well because that back three, like you said, Southampton Spurs, they're all getting confidence and the fans are getting confidence from it. His past two games he's played. You can't take him out now. It's the first time he's had the chance to hit form since he's been at Liverpool, so just leave him in there. And I think the way Van Dijk just calms that whole defence down is ridiculous. And I know he's not got that much European experience, but it will come in use on Wednesday, and then I'd be defensive again with them too. And then if you need to go on the break, you've got him to set them.
I think
up.
It's interesting how we've all gone. I mean, Henderson's an absolute the nailed on starter just because we know Emery Chan's suspended for this one. We've all got Milner back in here. I couldn't agree more, Chris. I think this is the perfect game for James Milner.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can't remember him having a bad game over the last couple of months, even when he's coming on late into games. You know, we certainly took control of the game even more so when him and Lallana came on against Southampton at the weekend. And it's just, he's a very, very clever player. He's experienced. He knows what he needs to do with the ball. He's not going to go overboard and try and overcommit and stuff like that. He's a safe pair of hands and a very good pair of hands, I suppose, as well.
That could be used as a bit of
It's a positive for him. And I think, you know, him being able to link up with Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino, he likes those 1-2s as well. He's good going forwards. His delivery is good as well. I think that's one of the reasons that he came on for Oxlade-Chamberlain at the weekend, is that straight to offer someone to take corners sometimes as well is not a bad thing. So I like the fact that, you know, I think Liverpool should stick with the 4-3-3, although it wouldn't surprise me if we did go 4-4-2 and try and use Salah on the break even more so from a central position.
Yeah, the difference I've got in terms of midfield is I've kept Gini in there. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think in terms of making the fewest changes and keeping continuity, keeping Oxlade-Chamberlain there makes sense. My only thinking on it is more, and whether we'll actually even would see Oxlade-Chamberlain from the left, I'm not so sure, but I feel like this might be one of those games where, because it's the away game, because we're not going to go out and play our usual set style, having someone on the bench, having a Mane or, God forbid, a Salah on the substitute bench might actually be a useful thing to have, because you could get into the last 15 minutes of this game either thinking we could do with an away goal here, and having some quality and some unpacing, a bit of goals off the bench might help us in that regard. The only other alternative, as I mentioned, I was kind of drawing the comparisons with the Dortmund game, this might be a Solanke style situation. You know, he might throw a surprise in there, and we might just play again a bit more conservatively. We might sit a bit deeper and just have someone. I guess, though, because if we were going to do that, it is likely that we would put Salah on his own up front.
Yeah,
as you know, we saw a little bit of that toward the back end of the Southampton game when Firmino goes off. Salah was the one who spearheaded it.
He's very good. He's very underrated at holding the ball up, as Mo Salah. Like, I mean, you hit the ball into him, he can control it, and he can look to bring somebody else in. And you know, Firmino's very good at that, but the real advantage of having that is having someone with pace going past you, man, isn't it? And that's why Firmino's so good at it, playing those through balls as Salah and Mane run past him.
Two more players to discuss then before we move on, Ross. Adam Lallana, no one's gone for an Adam Lallana start in this.
He's just been a bit stop-start since he's come back, hasn't he? And obviously, I think he might have done himself a bit of disservice trying to strangle a kid.
Yes, I mean, he's certainly not helped us. But no. It didn't harm his chances of being involved in the Southampton game.
I think that's part of Klopp trolling Southampton just by playing all the Southampton players. I think he could make a case for him starting, but like I say, he's been stop-start. I think it's going to be quite a high-tempo game. Do you throw him into that in such a vital fixture?
But is it going to be more or less high-tempo, do you think, than a Premier League game? I'd have suggested.
I think less. I think the game actually does suit Adam Lallana. I think maybe it's just a couple of weeks too soon probably for him to be starting. But you saw the way he came on. I mean, he was on for 30 minutes. I think he had more touches than Oxlade-Chamberlain in the Southampton game. He was on for half the amount of time as Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. He knows where to be. He knows how to recycle possession. He knows how to link that midfield and attack. I think it could be a game for him. I just think it might be too soon.
There's also a point where Moreno, again, no, I think, on the face of things, Andy Robertson completely deserves just to play as many games as he physically can for Liverpool. But not outside the realms that Moreno could come back in for this. I mean, there was a point when he was the top assister in the Champions League for the spell during the group stages. Again, not necessarily as intense. I mean, of the two, I think, do we say we trust Robertson more in the defensive sense?
I was stuck between the two. And then I had Vietnam black and white flashbacks to both Sevilla games. It's fine, just leave him out.
Yeah.
You could make a case for him to start, but again, he's not played much football. And they got that back four of Robertson in there. Just
Robertson's had a few mistakes at the weekend, though, Chris.
Yeah, a couple of small errors, I suppose, with guys attacking him from behind from when the cross is coming in from the other side and stuff. Now, I always think about Jürgen Klopp and the way that he manages and the way that he rotates is that you want to keep everybody fresh, you want to keep everybody playing as well as they can, but ultimately, I think when it comes to a crunch game like this, there's got to be a reason that for me, you've got to use the players that have got you there. Yeah. And I think Andy Robertson in recent weeks has been brilliant for us. And to then take him out of the biggest game of the season feels a little bit like it might be detrimental to him for the rest of the season.
But Moreno got them there.
In the Champions League, yeah, but as I said, I did clarify it with the last couple of months and stuff. So yeah. I do think that Robertson has been vital in everything that we've done in the last couple of months, and so he should keep his place for this game.
Yeah, got my game at the weekend either. I think he's better in mind.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's fallen kindly for us. It's weird that this has got to be. None of us wanted to go out of the FA Cup. But now that Liverpool are out of the FA Cup, we have to use that to our advantage. And hopefully that plays into our hands. Because I think there were a few people who looked at the substitutions at the weekend and were like, I'd have liked more time off the pitch for Salah, Mane, Firmino. And I don't think we could disagree. But there's probably a degree to which that's in the manager's mindset. But he just thinks, well, I've got 9, 10 days or whatever till the next game. So it's fine, I guess. Yeah, just ones to watch out for, of course. Juventus, Tottenham, Basel, Man City is the Tuesday before our game, of course. Next week, Chelsea, Barcelona and Sevilla versus Man United. It would be nice for Liverpool to be in a nice driving position. But, of course, those fixtures are notwithstanding of anything we do. Just want to make mention, of course, that if you want to keep up to date with everything that's going on in and around Liverpool, just in terms of chat, in terms of deep dive analysis into football matches, go to theredmentv.com. It basically powers everything we do on the YouTube channel. So if you want to keep the YouTube channel going strong, then go and become a Redmen TV supporter on the website as well. Brilliant, brilliant stuff, including the podcast clip that you heard earlier with Chris. Gents, been a pleasure.
Absolutely. I cannot wait. If you want to see what we're up to as well, don't forget to check us out on Instagram. We'll be posting throughout the journey. Like.
Amazing. Before we wrap up then, Ross, what's your score prediction?
1-1.
Okay. Chris?
2-0 Liverpool.
Oh, go on. I'll take a 1-0. There was a stat, and I'm paraphrasing it slightly. Like, we go for 2-0s quite a lot, I think, on this show. And I think that we've only had like
two
in the last year. It's mad, isn't it? Let's break that.
I'd take a 2-0 all day long.
I'd win at the weekend, though.
Exactly.
Let's keep that ball rolling. That would be absolutely majestic. Brilliant. Score predictions and preferred 11s in the comments section underneath. And you know what? If you think Liverpool can get out of the last 16, get to the quarters and beyond, drop a like on this video as well. Anyway, thanks for watching. See you soon. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.